consider some passages this morning, beginning with the one that Dean read from Hebrews chapter 11, which says that faith is the assurance of things that are hoped for. It is the conviction of things not seen. By it, the men of old, this is the New American Standard, the New King James says the elders, I like that one, I think, actually a little better in this case, the elders gained approval. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the Word of God so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. If you had to select a single word, I guess, to represent all of Scripture and all of our lives, it is that word, faith. And faith is that quality, that understanding, that gives us assurance for something that we have not yet realized, that we're hoping for. Faith is when you have a conviction, a certainty, to the point of being willing even to sacrifice your own life about things you cannot see. We are each of us here this morning because we believe in a place called heaven, presided over by one we know as God, Yahweh, or Jehovah. And because we long to see Him and to spend an eternity there, we are here this morning. We have a conviction about that place and that one whom we cannot see. The entirety of the 11th chapter of the Hebrew letter is dedicated to listing one after the other, after the other, after the other, many, many of those, both men and women, who were of old, who have gone ahead and have gained approval because of their faith. And so we understand by faith that the worlds were made. But the first of those people who are mentioned as having left a trail behind them because of their faith is Abel, and that's going back to Genesis 4. By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, his brother, through which, the faith and the sacrifice, he obtained the testimony that he was righteous. Abel was righteous, Cain was not. God, testifying about his gifts, and that's not his talents, but what he offered. Abel offered what God requested. Cain did not. Cain offered a more convenient sacrifice. And through faith, though he is dead, we are told here in Hebrews 11:4 that Abel still speaks. His voice has been echoing down through the ages, some at least 6,000 years, telling us that faith is an assurance. It provides a conviction. We learned in the reading a moment ago in the sixth verse, which I do not have on the screen at this time, you know, that without it, it is impossible to please God. Abel is dead, and yet he still speaks. His faith speaks. Our faith can speak. The testimony of God, once it has been granted in the approval of one in Scripture, you know, is kept and preserved in our testimony to this day. When we live lives of faith, is evidence and influences others. Matter of fact, the conclusion of the 11th chapter leads directly into the early verses of chapter 12, where it then speaks of this great cloud of witnesses that had gone before, and the encouragement then they provide for us, and in turn we hope we provide for others. Jerry Bassett just cleaved the water, didn't he? He was an aircraft carrier, a battleship kind of a man. And we are taught in Scripture, in the 13th chapter now of the Hebrew letter, to remember those who led you, who spoke the Word of God to you, and considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith. Chapter 11 of the Hebrew letter is devoted to faith, and we all know that. But chapter 12 is too, and so is the 13th chapter. So is the entire book, dedicated to provoking in each and every one of us a faith that is ironclad, that is undefeatable, that will endure in the face of terrible trial, that will endure in the presence of loss. And we are taught, as you enter the last chapter of that book, to remember those that have led us, to remember those that have spoken the word of God to us, and to consider the result of their conduct and to imitate their faith. When the word of Jerry Bassett's passing began to see the light of day in email and phone calls on Facebook, and it just multiplied and multiplied and multiplied until thousands, I am sure now, know across the surface of this earth that Jerry Bassett is gone. I received letters from the Philippines where he went and preached. I've received letters, you know, from various states, and all are woebegone and bereft because this man led us. This man spoke the word of God to us. The result of that man's conduct, the way he behaved, led to the conversion of many souls, to the encouragement of many more souls, to the enlightenment of any that ever read an article, listened to him preach, attended a debate, sat at his table in any circumstance, ever had the occasion simply to learn when you were in the presence of such a man. This man had profound influence. And we're supposed to remember that. We're taught in Philippians chapter 3, brethren, Paul says, join in following my example. Interesting how the man himself now is pointing at himself. Follow my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern that you have in us. It's not just the Hebrew letter. It's not just Paul, brethren, but we are taught in place after place in Scripture that we will learn and we will profit and we will be more powerful and effective in the service of the Lord, not just by reading the Scriptures, which of course is the primary source of all good things, but also, as you can see, by following the example, by observing those who walk according to the pattern that you have in us. And we've done that for 34 years, if you've had that blessing in this congregation, myself, for only the last four of those years. And we're deprived now of the observation of Jerry Bassett. But we can remember it, and we can choose, brethren, to walk by that pattern, to follow in that wake. Jerry Bassett has gone through a barrier now. He has gone beyond our knowing physically. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, it says, starting in verse 14, I do not write these things to shame you, but to admonish you as my beloved children. For if you were to have countless tutors in Christ, yet you would not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I became your father, speaking to all Corinthians, through the gospel. Therefore, I exhort you, be imitators of me. Now I would, brethren, that every saint in this room, every saint in every congregation now meeting in Oregon, every saint on the West Coast, every saint before us who probably now in previous time zones are getting out of their assemblies and entering into the later portion of this day, how I wish that everyone could say, be an imitator of me. You can say that with no arrogance, with no conceit, but simply as Jerry Bassett could, as one who was not bragging, but as one who was, in fact, like a father in the faith to us. For many who came to Christ because of him, as all the Corinthians did, through the work of Paul and through that gospel. I exhort you, brethren, be imitators of Jerry Bassett, and people will come to Christ, and they will learn depths of understanding in Scripture that you just couldn't get from anybody else. Few men have been such masters of those Scriptures as Jerry himself was. But brethren, he's gone beyond. He's not here now. But we, as you see, are charged time and time again to remember this one that led us, to observe the way that he walked, and then to walk that way ourselves. continuing in 1 Corinthians, some chapters later, chapter 10, last couple of verses there, starting at 32 and reading on into the first two verses of chapter 11, Paul says, "Give no offense either to Jews or to Greeks or to the church of God. Just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of the many, so that they may be saved. Be imitators of me." It's a third time Paul has said that. The third time that he's offered this command. The third time that he has demanded that we take notice and do what he did. Paul continues there, "just as I also am of Christ." Paul wasn't claiming that this greatness, that this image of perfection that he had of his own doing, he's not claiming that there was something in him alone or personally that was so important. "Be an imitator of him up to and including and only to the degree that he was an imitator of the Lord Jesus Christ." Then he says, "Now I praise you because you remember me in everything and hold firmly to the traditions just as I delivered them to you." In the last years of his life, Jerry was teaching these traditions to three congregations. He taught for us every time I was out of town, which is, you know, 6-7 times a year probably. I'm sick or whatever reason, holding a meeting, other reasons, you know, I'm out of town. Jerry was there delivering those traditions here. But he was alternating also at Brookings. He was in Roseburg on a regular basis, preaching for those churches as well. Jerry Bassett died at the age of 84. And he was still preaching, still working for three different congregations at that time. I just marvel at such influence, at such dedication. "It's a long drive, they tell me, down to Brookings," which apparently is close to the border, something like 3 hours away. I guess it is. I've never been there. "Brethren, imitate such a man as he imitated Christ. If somebody needed to know something about their Bible, then Jerry would be there, aged, becoming infirm, great distance, no matter. Be an imitator of such a one as he is of Christ. And be praised, brethren, then, for remembering him and all others that have led us, holding firmly to these traditions, just as they were delivered." Jerry has left this earth entirely. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, which by the way is a contender for the first New Testament book to be written, although Galatians might have beaten, you know, this Thessalonian letter by a month or two, Paul will say there, "Our gospel did not come to you in word only," in 1 Thessalonians 1:5, "but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. Just as you know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake. You also became imitators of us." It's getting to be a well-known theme, isn't it? "You also became imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much tribulation with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. For the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith toward God has gone forth, so that we have no need to say anything. A man who is truly devoted to his God, a man who is just intimately familiar with every word in that gospel, a man who has preached that gospel all of his life with full conviction, a man that has proven himself among many observers and witnesses who are examining that life to see what kind of a man he is. Such a man can say, imitate me. And even, brethren, at the brand new beginning of a congregation, first-time hearers who, when this letter, 1 Thessalonians, was written, had some of them likely not been Christians longer than 90 days. Think about that. In 90 days, we are now told that obeying this command to be imitators, that is following these instructions to remember such a one as a Jerry Bassett or an Apostle Paul, that they become examples, and that their renown immediately begins to spread. That they are examples of all the believers in several different territories in the Roman Empire. The word of the Lord, we are told here, sounds forth from them not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but every place their faith toward God went forth, so that the apostles' work is no longer needed. He doesn't have any need to say anything anymore. When you rise up and listen to such men, become like such men, imitate these men, you can do this from the first of your faith, Liz. You can do this from the beginning, and instantly your family, your friends, your associates see the change, understand that you're a better person than you were before, that you are stronger, that you are wiser. And the word spread, brethren, faster than Facebook 2,000 years ago. Jerry's gone, brethren. He's gone. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, which is the next to last letter that he would write, he would say to this young, just beginning preacher, let no one look down on your youthfulness, Timothy, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity. Show yourself an example of those who believe. The charge, brethren, to be an imitator, the charge to stand out, the command to be representative of all things that are holy and righteous and pure and good, is issued by such a man as Paul, was accepted and lived in the life of such a man as Jerry Bassett, and is commanded for the youngest among us. Not just in the faith, but in years as well. We had occasion to develop in an individual sermon each of the five things that Timothy is charged with there. In speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity, to be the example of those who believe. And as you search your heart of hearts this morning, one that grieves for loss, ask yourself, if having had such a one to lead us, if you really applied yourself and have become what you might have been, and if not, then heed his admonition, Paul's admonition, what certainly could be Jerry's, on this day as well. Jerry is gone, brethren, from us. But in Titus chapter 2, verses 6 through 8, Paul wrote another letter of similar time that he was writing Timothy, another young preacher, and he said, urge the young men to be sensible in all things. Show yourself to be an example of good deeds, with purity in doctrine, dignified, sound in speech, which is beyond reproach, so that the opponent will be put to shame, having nothing bad to say about us. Yesterday, Don and I spent a couple of delightful hours in the presence of some six high school graduates, their family, friends, many from this congregation. Young ones, very young. about to leave home some, or at least begin a new layer of education. Whether male or female, I urge you right now, in the name of the Apostle Paul and Jerry Bassett, you be sensible. That is not easy for you in your youth. No, it's not. It'll take attention. It will take discipline. In all things, show yourself to be an example of good deeds. Paul repeatedly pointed at himself, "Look at me! You could find no bad deed in the man." Be an example of good deeds with purity in doctrine. He's urging young people to understand doctrine, to have a depth of understanding of that doctrine, to be pure in the doctrine so that you can separate fact from fiction, lies from the truth, false doctrine from that which is true, and certainly from the foolishness of the world, you can see towering above it the wisdom of our God. Be dignified despite the fact you're going to go to college. We've been living in a culture for a long time where somehow going to a college has become the rite of passage which allows you to be the worst of fools and take pride in it. This is ultimately wrong. You are to be dignified, not silly, not foolish, not laughable, not buffoons, not standing out because of the color of your hair or the bareness of your skin, but dignified, sound in speech, able to control what James 3 says is the most difficult monster there is to control, your tongue. Sound in speech which is beyond reproach. Not a soul could criticize a word you picked or the manner in which you've expressed yourself. So that the opponent will be put to shame, having nothing bad to say about us. From our youth, we are given such commands as Christians. In Luke chapter 12, verse 48, one of the most frightening verses in Scripture. I mentioned another one this morning in the Bible class and won't develop it again. But here's one for you, John 12, 48. Everyone who has been given much, from him much will be required. And to whom they entrusted much, of him they will ask all the more. Brethren, we're grieving. We have lost something that is gargantuan and gigantic and colossal and titanic. We've lost such a warrior. I'd like for you, for a moment to recognize that God knows the end from the beginning, that every good and perfect gift comes down from that Spirit of light. There must have been a time, brethren, when God decided that Coburg Road would be blessed with Marge and Jerry Bassett for 34 years. From everyone who has been given much, much will be required. And to whom they entrusted much, of him they will ask all the more. Brethren, I submit to you that the judgment in the last day of Coburg Road will be meeting a standard higher than the vast majority of congregations that have ever been. Much will be expected of us in this life for the little time that we have under the sun. Much will be required of us in the fruits of our faith in that final day when we face our God. He with a great cloud of witnesses, among whom Jerry and Marge will stand. Will the judgment be, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? Or will it be, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who work iniquity. Brethren, one of the greatest preachers of this century was ours. Were you paying attention? And who will fill the breach? Rise up, brethren. Rise up now and say, I'll never again fail to appreciate the blessings that God has given me in this great free nation. With all of this comfort, so many Bibles I can wallpaper my house with them without even tearing out the pages. And I have at my disposal. Who will I be? What will I be? How will I speak? What will I do for my God today? That one day, perhaps, in the judgment, I might demonstrate, truly, I appreciate it, Jerry Bassett. If you're not living up to a standard like that one, well, I'm not either. But I'm sure determined to try. If we can help you this morning in prayer and Bible study, or perhaps following out Liz's example of just a couple of days ago, you've been thinking about it, and you've had, you know, a mind just full of excuses. You've listened to the devil whispering in your ear about how later is better and all of that. But you know that you really run out of those excuses, and you ought to be baptized into Christ today so that you might rise to walk in newness of life today. And I'm urging you, young and old, in the faith or in the flesh, to respond to a gospel that Jerry Bassett preached in many places and in many different formats for over 50 years. Let today be the day of salvation while we stand and sing.